All right, take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. And I really believe I'm going to get you out a couple minutes early tonight. I said I believe, I didn't promise. But Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read the first four verses together. And we'll read them responsively. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And let's pray. Lord, we need you tonight. Teach us some lessons tonight. Lord, though this was 5,000 years ago almost, it's still true today. Your Bible still lives. It's still the living, breathing Word of God, perfect for our generation as well as Abraham's day. Teach us what we need to know from the examples you've given us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me say this and start this way. As you read the Bible, may I challenge you to do something? These aren't stories. These are real people. Learn to put yourself in the place of these people and realize it happened then like it does now. These weren't supernatural people that were super spiritual. They were human beings like you and like me. We have here the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham is about to, God asked Abraham to go sacrifice Isaac. Now, here's part of it that you might not understand. In verse number 2, Bible says, and God said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, wait a minute. Was Isaac Abraham's only son? No. Ishmael was born because of Hagar and Abraham. But Ishmael wasn't the promised son.
Right.
It wasn't the son God said you were supposed to have.
You're right.
Ishmael's about 10 years or so older than Isaac. And Ishmael had been born. By the way, Ishmael is the father of the Muslim race today. The problem between the Jews and the Muslims today is because Abraham got impatient with God and had a baby with Hagar, an Egyptian woman. And all of the problems in the Middle East are over Ishmael and Isaac. The Muslims are right. The Palestinians are right. Theirs was firstborn, but it wasn't the promised firstborn.
Right, correct.
Therefore, the Holy Mount is not theirs. It's God's. It's the Jews. The Jewish race was God's chosen people. That is why the Muslim people hate Christianity and hate Jews. Okay? All because of Abraham, Isaac, Hagar, and Ishmael. All right? Now, you have to understand, they had prayed. Sarah was 90 years old, and Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. There's hope for you, Miss Arlene. oh, my soul. It was coming. They just, can you imagine? Now, here's the thing. Here's where most people go, and I don't say wrong, but have a misconception of this. Isaac was not a little boy in Genesis chapter 22. Isaac was probably around 25 to 27 years old here in Genesis chapter 22. He was a grown man. You have to understand, his mama died when he was 37 years old. If you went to Genesis chapter 23, verse number 1, Sarah was 127 years old, and these were the years of the life of Sarah. Well, if Isaac was born when she was 90, 37 years later, she passes away. He was 37 years old when she passed away. And in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac was not a little boy. He was a grown man. probably 25, I really think closer to 27 or 28 years old at this time. Now, that means this, Abraham and Sarah had gone through those baby stages again. Thank God we're not doing that. They went through the infant years. They went through all the dirty diapers and the sleepless nights and all those wonderful stages that babies put you through. And God bless you women. God makes you with something not quite right inside to ever want to go through that more than once. All these women that are in their 40s and 50s, oh, I wished I had another one. You're nuts, all right? I'm glad it's over. No more potty training, no more diapers. No, why would you ever want to go through all that again? All that pain. It just doesn't make sense to me, but God bless you. I'm glad you think that way. And it's okay. They got through the childhood years. They got through the teen years. That, in and of itself, is success. Now, I say that the teen years are very vital. Can I help those of you that have children or your grandparenting children that are going to be teenagers? If we're not careful as parents, we want to challenge our teenagers in the teen years instead of teach them. My wife was very good at helping me realize I wasn't in competition with my boys. I was teaching them to be men. It's so easy for a man to want to compete with his boys. I learned to let my boys exceed me in areas. They had to learn to pass me up. They had to have an area of expertise. My daughter had to have areas of expertise. I'm glad my children can outdo me in several different areas. It's not my job to keep up with them. I'm not in competition with them. My job was to teach them, to train them, make it on their own. Now, I got one boy, he loves to hunt. I got another boy, you take him out hunting, if he hadn't killed something in 10 minutes, he's going to close his eyes, go to sleep, and doesn't matter what happens. I am not kidding. Jeff is my hunter. Good night. He'll get up and stay up late. He'll do it all. I took Josh out, set him in a bunch of round bales one day. Jeff and I are sitting at one end of the farm, watching across the field, 400 yards away. I watched two deer walk up and think, come on, Josh, shoot, 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 shoot. They got within 10 yards of his where he was at, and no shot. And puppies came, walked over to us, and we killed both of them. When we shot, all of a sudden he stood up. He'd been sleeping the whole stinking time. You stinking bum! Now, wait a minute, it's not his thing. He enjoys doing it some, but it's just he doesn't have the patience for it right now. That's fine. I'm not in competition with him. I'm not in competition with my son, Jeff. That boy's owned more guns than I've ever owned, and he's 21 years old. He buys and sells guns faster than anybody I ever saw. You know what? That's things he likes. I'm good with that. I have no problem with that. I'm not trying to compete. When I was teaching them to shoot, we weren't in competition. I just wanted them to get good enough to be able to do what they needed to do. Neither one of them shoot a bow. Doesn't matter to me. I didn't shoot a bow for them. I shot it for me. I enjoyed it. If they don't, they don't. No problem. Now, I say that to say this. We ought not try to compete. When my boys played sports, I didn't try to compete with them. Say why? I found out a long time ago they got more gas in the tank than I got. I am not about to try to keep up anymore. We go golfing. You got to see the three of us go out golfing. It is hilarious. It really is. It wasn't until this year that my one son finally beat me. He's been working for 3 or 4 years to try to beat me playing golf. He finally beat me. It was like he won the Indy 500, the Super Bowl, and the World Series all rolled into one. He beat me by one stroke. You say, did that bother you? No, I was happy for him. But I did tell him for all 3 years, you're going to earn it. I'm not giving it to you. I wasn't competing, but I wanted him to find out what he was. Now, okay, he hits the ball a lot farther than I hit it. Where he uses a 6-iron, I might use a 5-iron. Where he uses a 9-iron, I might use a 7. Boy, strong. You think I'm going to try to keep up with him? No way. I can hit it as far, just got to use a different club. I'm not going to try to kill myself. Now, wait a minute. Abraham and Sarah were happy parents. God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to test you. I want you to take your son, the only promised son I gave you, and I want you to go up into Moriah, into the land of Moriah, and I'm going to show you a mountain there, and I want you to take some wood. I want you to take your son. I want you to build a fire and sacrifice your son to me. Now, wait a minute. God promised Abraham that the Jewish race would run through his veins, and the only promised child that he had then was Isaac. If Abraham, or if Isaac was 27, Abraham was about 127 years old. Can you imagine him having another baby if he had to kill Isaac? Sarah would kill him for sure. Because she'd have been 117. Talked to my grandma yesterday. She'll be 99 in April. I can't imagine her having a baby right now. She can't imagine having a baby right now. But that's what it was. Abraham said, okay, let's go. He grabbed his son. He said, let's go, son. We're going to go sacrifice. God's told us to go. We're going to go. It was a 3-day journey. They had the wood. They had the knife. They had the fire. And as they're going up, Isaac said, Dad, we got everything but one thing. Where's the sacrifice? He said, it's okay, son. God will provide himself a sacrifice. They got there. When they got there, they built the altar as God commanded. They put the wood in order. And Abraham said, Isaac, God told me to bring you here, and you're the sacrifice. He bound him as he would any sacrifice, put him on the altar. The Bible says that Abraham raised the knife back to take his son's life. And God says, hold it. You've gone far enough. All of a sudden, they heard a ram stuck in the thicket right behind them. Can you imagine how they both felt at that point in time? I love the statement, God will provide himself a lamb. God provided himself as the lamb, as well as providing the lamb. Now, they passed the test. They took the ram, they sacrificed it, and God was pleased at Abraham's faith in him. Now, let me give you just a couple lessons here, and we'll get done. Number one, God tested Abraham. Look at Genesis chapter 22 again, verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things, notice the next four words, that God did tempt Abraham. That word tempt isn't a sinful thing. The word tempt there means test, trial. I'm going to make a statement here that may surprise you. The devil gets a lot of credit for things that the Lord allows to happen. Did you know that things that test you, things that oppose you, make you stronger?
That's right.
Do you know the devil doesn't want you stronger? He wants you weaker.
Yep. That's
right. God wants you stronger. The only way to get stronger is to face resistance. I'm trying to go on a reduction program. I've lost about 12 pounds and working on my cardio, and I've been doing 30-minute workouts on my elliptical. Lord have mercy. These things are killing me. At first it was just get your wind under you, and I'm doing better. My cardio is doing a whole lot better. And then they start adding resistance to it. Well, I'm doing 30 minutes, I'll go 2.5 miles in 30 minutes. That's cooking it, just so you know. And it's working everything I got. I mean, I am sweating like like you just can't imagine. I'm sweating like a June bug on the last day of June, you know? I mean, I'm just giving it everything I've got. But do you know how I get stronger? Adding resistance. The more resistance I add to it, the stronger I will be. I got to get myself ready to go on a hunt this fall in 7,000 feet elevation. And if you know anything about elevation, a mile high, everything's real thin. At 7,000, 7,200 feet, it's really, really thin. And this fat old man ain't going to be fat. I might be old, but I'm not going to be fat because I'm not going to lay on the side of a hill going to hunt. Amen. I'm just not going to do it. And I decided I'm going to take it slow, take it as easy as I can. I'm working out 5-6 days a week, 30 minutes a day. And I'm feeling good. I really am. I'm kind of getting excited over it. I'm doing things I didn't think I'd do. Now, I got this stupid woman on this thing telling me what to do. And I left the woman telling me what to do because it makes me mad enough to do it. She said, if you're not mad right now, increase the resistance. Shut up, woman. Good night. Now, it's just enough to motivate me. I had to get mean with myself. I've been watching what I've eaten. I've been cutting way, 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 way back, and things are working. But wait a minute. I only get stronger because of resistance. Sitting there looking at the stupid exercise machine doesn't get anybody stronger. Yeah. Just because you look at it, just because you think about it, doesn't mean you get any stronger. You got to get on the stupid thing and face the resistance to make yourself strong enough to do it. I know I just shattered your bubble, didn't I? Now, wait a minute. God did not tempt Abraham with sin. He tempted him with a trial that was going to test him with resistance. Nobody wanted to do. He did not want to do what he was supposed to do for God. Can I tell you something? I've done a lot of things for God I didn't really want to do. Once I got through it, I was glad I did it. So many times we look, and please listen to this very carefully. I never look at what's going on around me to decide what God's will is. God's will always goes in accordance with that book right there. Matter of fact, the devil's going to throw a lot of things your way to keep you from doing it. He can get you to do whatever you want to do if he can convince you, well, God wants you to do this. That's not always true. I always say it this way. You might not know exactly what God wants you to do, but you'll know when you're not supposed to be doing it. Because it will go against that right there. He'll make it very clear what's not to be done. Now, testing makes you strong. Can I tell you something? Don't resist the testings of God. Don't get mad. Well, I got a flat tire. The devil really must hate me. Could be that God wanted you to be delayed for something, for some reason, to do something for you. Why does the devil always get the credit for your flat tires or your car wrecks? Amen, Brother Joe? Told you you're going to get your pickup truck, though, didn't I? Picks it up tomorrow. another F-150 owner. Amen. Now, yeah, we know you're sorry because you don't have one. Yours doesn't even run. You want to keep going, Wiley? That was strike three, and I only swung through two pitches. Amen. Now wait a minute. You ought to know better on that one. Can I tell you something? Let's quit getting mad at God and giving the devil all the credit for all the testing that comes our way. God wants you strong for what's coming the rest of your life. I didn't always enjoy everything I'd been through. I was thinking this afternoon. My phone never stopped all afternoon. I was thinking this afternoon, though, 16 years ago right now, Brother Hiles was in surgery, and they had his chest popped open. He had died 3 times on the table, and we really didn't think he was going to make it. Literally 16 years ago, almost to the moment right now, I was preaching evening college chapel to a bunch of college students, not knowing whether their preacher was going to live or die. Try that one once. I get all the fun slots, you know. And he didn't. He didn't make it. But can I tell you something? God didn't want him to. We needed it to make us stronger. I don't understand it. But I know this. He'd have been over 90 years old right now. He probably would have been in heaven before now anyway. Can I tell you something? It wasn't our timing, but it was God's timing. Why is it that we get so upset when the testings come? The word test there is, tempt means test. It's adversity. It's resistance. And the more resistance you face, the stronger you get. Do you know the more times you go soul winning and get opposed, the better soul winner you become? More times people say no, the better soul winner you'll become. More times people get upset at you for your strong stand, the stronger you'll stand. Knowledge was not the test. Faith was the test. Christianity has gotten into this knowledge stuff versus faith. We think because we know a lot of facts about this book that we're good Christians. No, it's what we do with what we have. The test wasn't whether Abraham knew what God wanted him to do. God made it very clear. Get all the stuff you need, take your son, go sacrifice him on the mountain. That was the knowledge. The faith was the ability to say, come on, son, let's go. And then to tie your son up, put him on the altar as the sacrifice, and draw the knife back, cut his throat. Now that's faith. I was talking to a pastor this week, and I said, you've got to have the faith to do this. I said, faith isn't some blind, power of positive thinking stuff. Oh, I just believe God's going to do all this. That's a bunch of trash. I said, faith is doing everything you can to let God take care of what you cannot do. I said, step out on the limb and let God cut it if he wants to, but stand out on the limb where he told you to stand. I said, I've never watched God cut the limb. I watch a lot of people crawl off or cut it themselves. But God never cut it off. And charged him back up. Knowledge was not the test. Faith was the test. Look at verse number 12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, for me. Wow. He said, Abraham, I know you'll do whatever I tell you to do. Now I know you'll do whatever I tell you to do. Can I tell you something? He passed the test. He didn't delay. He didn't have to spend weeks and weeks and weeks in prayer. God made it very clear. You know, generally, you don't have to spend a long time figuring out what God's will is because it works right in line with that book right there. It really isn't that difficult. I use that a lot with folks, but it's very true. You just keep going forward. Keep doing what God said do when he said it, do it his way, and everything will work the way he said it would work. Well, I'll keep going till God shuts the door. Well, the devil can close and open doors too. I know a lot of people that try to, because they want something bad enough, they make it God's will for their life because they want it. What's God say? Number two, Abraham and Isaac passed the test. Not only did they get tested, but they passed it. Can I tell you something? We as parents need to help our children learn how to obey God. We as Christians need to help other Christians learn how to obey God. Did you know you're not supposed to move for a paycheck?
Yes, sir. Right.
Sorry. You'd get upset if the preacher said, well, I had the church offer me more money than this church can offer me in better buildings. I'm going to go work for them. Oh, bless God, you're chasing after the dollar. Why is it wrong for me and not for somebody else? Everybody doing okay? Sears and Roebuck is calling doesn't mean that it's the right job. Now, I'm for making the money you can make, but I'm for being in the right church doing what God wants you to do. You know, moving your family to the wrong place can ruin your family. I promise you that. I've watched more than one family ruin their lives by moving for a paycheck. Everybody doing all right? A move can make or break your kids. Can make or break your grandkids. Make or break your marriage. Church attendance and holy living will show you which path to go. Amen. Sometimes you have to go against what everybody else tells you to do. Did you know that Isaac questioned his dad about the sacrifice? Look at verse number 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father? And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Can I tell you something? I don't think that was the answer Isaac was thinking about when Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb." All of a sudden, he's tied up, laying on the wood on the altar. Can I tell you something? The best thing you can do for your family is stay in the will of God and obey God no matter what. I'll promise you. Whether your kids turn out right, turn out wrong, live in the will of God.
Amen.
And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Just because your kids don't turn out the way you thought they should doesn't mean you failed as a parent. Every man has the right to choose for themselves. Quit beating yourself up. Live the will of God now, whether your kids are or not. And by the way, it doesn't mean you don't love them, but you don't get out of God's will to please your kids that aren't right with God either.
Right.
Yes, sir.
I love my children. But may I say this? Whether they serve God or not, their mom and I are. I got a text from my son Josh today. He said, "Dad, we had two new families in church today." He's getting ready to start an adult couples class, young couples class. He's wound up tighter than a banjo string. I'm excited for him. Mindy said they were down because of the flu on the bus today, but they still had a visitor or two or something like that. My son Jeff texted me. He's a layman, not a college student. He said, "Dad," he said, "we had a good day on the bus. I preached junior church today." My son Jeff. The kid that said he would never, ever preach in his life. He's preached junior church three or four times now.
Praise the Lord.
I'm proud of that boy. Say, what is that? He's doing the will of God.
Amen.
But if he doesn't do the will of God tomorrow, I still am.
Yes,
amen.
I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not doing the will of God just for my kids. I'm doing it because that's what I'm supposed to do. Whether they live right or live wrong, I'm going to do the will of God. My wife and I will do the will of God. That's what God called us to do. Whether they live right or not, that's between them and God. They're out of my leadership. They're away from me. They have a responsibility to God, do what God wants them to do. It doesn't mean I'm a bad parent or a good parent because they turned out right. If you knew how bad a parent I was, thank God they have their mother. I'm not kidding. Now, wait a minute. Isaac questioned his dad. By the way, he had a right to question his dad, but he didn't challenge his dad. You know, as your children grow older, they have a right to question you. Don't get upset when they say, "Dad, why are we supposed to do this?" Now, there's times they're supposed to just shut up and do what they're told to do, and I understand that, but it does help if you train them why. You know, why is not a bad question as they get older in life so they can figure things out. Isaac knew the proper way to please God. Isaac was told God would provide himself a sacrifice. Praise God, he did. Amen. I got to hurry here. Isaac was an adult man. He wasn't a child. Now, let me finish by saying this. They passed the test. They not only were tested, they not only passed it, but when God graded them, God gave them an A on the report card. They got an excellent. Can I tell you something? Both of them passed the test. It wasn't just Abraham that was tested. Isaac was tested as well. Abraham was tested to go and to sacrifice. Isaac was tested in his obedience to what God wanted. Listen to this. Isaac didn't have to obey his dad, but he did it in obedience to God. Isaac was a grown man. He didn't have to obey his daddy. Good night. I'm 49 years old, almost 50 years old. I don't have to obey my daddy anymore. I have to obey God. And I don't mean this the wrong way. Whether my dad obeys God or not, I'm supposed to obey God. Thank God I got a spiritual, godly dad and mom. But may I say this? whether they obey God or not isn't the issue. I'm supposed to obey God. Everybody understand? They both passed the test. It wasn't just Abraham being tested. Isaac was being tested. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob became Israel, the father of the Jewish race. That's why in the Old Testament you see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But Esau sold the birthright. Jacob tricked him. Instead of going hunting, he stayed home and made soup with his mama. Soup stirring mama's boy, man. Now, wait a minute. These two men were loved on by God. Look at verse number 12. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for burnt offering instead of his son thereof. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount the Lord shall be seen. Wow. Now wait a minute. God began to love on Abraham and Isaac because of their obedience. God's blessing our church. Can I tell you why? Because of the obedience of the people. It's not just because of the pastor of the church. It's because of the obedience of the people. I know churches all over this country that have good pastors, but the people won't obey God and they're struggling. It's not just because of the pastor. It's because everybody getting involved doing what God wants them to do. And the more we obey, the more God can bless. The more we do His will. By the way, His will is not hidden. 99% of the will of God is right there. Why is it we get so concerned about the 1% we can't see? I know guys that sat in college after they graduated for years because they weren't exactly sure where God wanted them to go to start a church. And they did nothing for God. They were so concerned about the where, they didn't do anything. Can I tell you something? You can't take the gospel to the wrong place. Bless God, I decided when I was in college, as soon as I graduated, I had 12 months to put her through school. And I just stayed busy doing the work of God, and I just kept on doing it. I got busier after I graduated, took a couple courses after graduation, and then we went to California, stayed there 2 years. God got us out of the land of the fruits and nuts. Thank God. Went to South Carolina, worked there for 4.5 years, was busy, never intended to do anything else, planned to stay there the rest of our lives. One day the phone rang and Brother Hiles wanted us to come work there. I was shocked to death. My pastor, who I worked for, said, "You need to go." Okay. So we packed up and a couple months later and went to Indiana, worked there. Brother Hiles died, stayed there for about a year and a half after Brother Hiles died, moved here, was an assistant pastor for 10 plus years, and then God had to start this church. Can I tell you something? I just kept doing what God wanted me to do the whole time. He showed me what and where all the time. The what and the where isn't the important, or the where's not as important as the what. If you keep doing the what, God will show you the where. He'll make it very, very clear. We get so worried about, well, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Is that what that says? I have never worried about the will of God. My wife will tell you, I have never fretted over it. Not one time. Never wondered. If I ever wondered, I didn't do it because I wasn't sure. But I kept doing what I was supposed to do. In the process, He showed me the where. That's how you do it. Do you know where I was when God told me we were supposed to start Grace Baptist Church? I was preaching in New Jersey. Preached at a Sunday school convention and preached in a church in New Jersey. God made it very clear. I had a man sit down and said, "I was getting ready to offer you a job." He said, "But I believe God wants you to go start a church." I said, "Would you shut up? I said, why are you saying that? He said, because. I said, you didn't have to say that. He said, no. He said, I was going to hire you. He said, here's a letter to my deacons. He said, my deacons already signed it and approved it. I already have your salary approved. He said, but I'm not going to offer you the job because I think God wants you to start a church where you're at. I got back to my room. My wife called. She was crying. I said, what's the matter? She said, honey, if God wants us to start a church, I'm ready. That really stinks. That's not what I wanted to hear. And Grace Baptist Church was born that moment. Say, what were you doing? Preaching in a place I hated, New Jersey? Too close to New York. Amen, Brother Ron? The city, not the state. But I was doing what I was supposed to do. God took care of the rest. I kept doing the what. God showed the when and the where. That's how you decide God's will. Abraham and Isaac, they passed the test. The test was from God, not the devil. That test was to make them stronger, not make them weaker. And they passed it very well. Can I tell you something? Let's build our faith and let's pass the tests that come our way. I'm not saying God's not going to bring people our way and they're not going to move away, and that if they move away, they're not in God's will. That you're going up the wrong avenue there. I never tell people what God's will is for their life. I can only tell them what it is for my life. I can tell them if they're using that or not to make their decision. That's all I ask. Use that to make your decision, not this. Because man's heart's desperately wicked. Who can know it? If I did what I wanted to do, I'd be sitting on a mountain somewhere with a gun and a cabin out in the middle of nowhere, killing everything I needed to eat. Amen? I could be a hermit real fast, my wife and I. But that's not what God wants. It's okay. Say, why? People are weird sometimes. Do you ever notice that? Man, people could get you upset if you let them. I decided I'd laugh at them instead of get mad at them anymore. Do you ever notice how unhappy liberals are? You know, look at Nancy Pelosi and Hillary's face. That's enough to make anybody not want to be a liberal, amen? Don't look too long because you need a bucket, amen? For you and them. Put it over their head after you throw up in it. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you why our world's so wacky? Because they're making decisions that's not based on truth. Our government's all whacked up because they're making decisions against the Constitution, which is supposed to be our guide of truth. That's all it is. If we get back to the Constitution, we get back to the Bible, we get back to truth. First premise of communism. There are no absolutes, there is no truth. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Huh. Let's pass the test like Abraham and Isaac. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just kind of a simple truth tonight, but boy, an important one. As we grow as Christians, as we help Christians to grow, as we help our families to grow, as we help our grandkids to grow, as we grow as ourselves as Christians, to realize God's going to bring these tests to strengthen us, not to ruin us.